And I just want to acknowledge a couple things. First of all, Pastor Andy did an excellent job with the funeral service for Marsha Berger yesterday. So I want to acknowledge that. I also want to acknowledge the fact that our worship set this morning, Andy did a wonderful job picking out songs that go very well with the message today. And I see that there are a lot of candles lit over here. I'm hoping, Bob, that I can open up the mic in a little while, and you can tell us, actually, what I'm going to open it up for is I want you to tell us a reason that you love God. It may be associated with the candle that's lit, and it may not be. Okay? Now, as far as these candles go, you notice that the most important candle on this table is lit this morning. And I believe this was lit for Marsha. Is that correct? Yep. So many of you know that Marsha Berger has been a prayer request of Ken's for a long time, that she would come to know the Lord. And shortly before she passed away, she did make the decision to trust Christ. So the Jesus candle is lit this morning. Yeah, let's clap for that. The Jesus candle is lit this morning in acknowledgement of the fact that when she did pass away, she went into the presence of the Lord. So we have great confidence that one day she and Ken will be reunited. So we praise God for that. I'm sorry? You can count on it. That's right. That's right. Amen. Amen. One more person I want to acknowledge this morning is Corbin Chisholm back on the PowerPoint this morning. He's doing a great job back there. All right. So, Corbin, we're going to go ahead and launch my message at this time. I do have a scripture reading, if we could stand for this. It comes from Mark, the 12th chapter, starting in verse 28. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, that's Jesus, this scribe asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" Meaning the most important. Jesus answered him, "The first of all commandments is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this: You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." So the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth. For there is one God, and there is no other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices." Amen. Thank you. Go ahead and take your seat. Well, as we've been going through this series, I've asked you if you would be willing to dedicate the 2020s as your, I shouldn't use the word dedicate, but your most dedicated decade of your life to Jesus Christ. Now, I've made a distinction. I'm not asking you to dedicate yourself to the church more than you've dedicated yourself in the past. Although for some of you, absolutely. What I'm asking you to do is dedicate your life to Jesus more than you have in your entire life. So dedicate this decade, the 2020s, to Jesus more than you ever have. And we're approaching the end of this series. However, I expect that even when this series is completed, those of you that have made a decision to say, yes, I'm going to make this the most dedicated decade of my life, will continue it even beyond. We've got this week and we've got next week, and then Glenn Hansel is going to bring a message the week after that, and then we're going to kick off a brand new series after that that will bring us up to Easter. It's called Mission Resurrection. So we've got two messages left in this series, and we've been talking about some of the basic principles of Christianity with the idea behind it that basic doesn't always mean easy. They're principles that are easy to understand, but not always easy to flesh out in our lives. So we started with take up your cross daily and follow Jesus. It's a day-by-day decision that when I wake up in the morning, today's going to be for Jesus. And when I wake up the next day is going to be for Jesus. And we talked about running the race to win. We talked about seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And Jesus puts this right in the middle of a passage on anxiety. And he says, all the rest of the things, everything else that you're worried about, all of those things are going to fall into place if you will seek the kingdom above all things. So seek the kingdom first in his righteousness. Then we talked about life is worship. Everything that we do is worship of something. Let's focus our worship on God. And then the last 2 weeks, we've talked about the idea of abiding in Christ. And if you haven't already guessed it, today we're going to talk about this idea of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I think it's appropriate to focus a message on love, especially because Jesus said that there is nothing more important than to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But also being Valentine's Day weekend, this seems like an appropriate time to talk about love. Now, for those of you that don't know, my now wife and I just celebrated 21 years of being together. Now, that includes our dating period, but we have been together for 21 years now. Can you believe that she's put up with me all that time? Well, I hope we go a little bit further than that. So I'm not going to tell the story about how we first got together. I've told pieces of that over the last couple weeks. But if you want to hear that story, she loves to tell it. Just please let me run away first. The way she tells it, I always turn bright red. Probably how I am right now. But we understand a little bit about love. I don't think we have any idea about just how much God loves us, though. You know, we understand the idea that we were created in the image of God. And we understand the idea that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. We understand those concepts. But God's love is so much more abundant even than that. God's love goes to the point of even holding us together. The scripture says that Jesus holds all things together. God loves us so much that he gives us each and every breath that we breathe in, each and every moment that passes by, each day that we have is a gift from him. And it's all focused on how much he loves us. And Jesus, when asked the question, what is the most important commandment in the law? Now, recognize there's 613 written commandments just in the Old Testament, and then this huge network of commandments that the Pharisees and the Sadducees had built around the law after all of that. Jesus answers with this one idea: love the Lord your God. And it's love the Lord your God essentially above everything else in your life. So the question this morning is, how well do we love the Lord our God? And if you haven't guessed it yet, the final message in this series is going to be love your neighbor as yourself. But I think it's worthy to at least dedicate one message to this idea of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. In reality, we could dedicate not just one message, we could dedicate an entire series. You know what? We should dedicate our entire lives to this concept of loving the Lord our God. So, you remember that in the Old Testament, after after God had delivered the Israelites out of Egypt, they crossed the Red Sea and then they stopped at Mount Sinai. And Moses went up Mount Sinai and he met with God. And as he was meeting with God, God gave him the law. And a portion of the law is this concept that we call the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. And I think just about everybody is familiar with these. The first one says, do not worship any other gods. Then do not make any idols. Do not misuse God's name. Keep the Sabbath holy. Honor your father and mother. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not covet. Those are the Ten Commandments. Now, obviously, that's a short paraphrased version of the Ten Commandments. But the idea here is the same idea that Jesus had answered the scribe that asked him. The first four of these commandments are about loving God. It's about our relationship with God. And then the rest of them are about loving others. So even built into the very beginning of God's law is the idea that you should love the Lord your God first and foremost, and then second after that is love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, let me say that one more time. It is first and foremost our priority to love the Lord our God, and secondarily to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's the order that Jesus gave it to us, and it's important that we keep things in that order. Let me give you a concept here, okay? There's this idea within our society that we need to love other people at all costs. And it sounds great theoretically, but it doesn't take into consideration that when someone is doing something that offends the first principle, then it's not really loving God in the proper order, right? God said, love me first, love others as yourself. So when we say something that God has said is wrong, when we say, well, we just need to love other people, what we're doing is we're placing our love for other people above our love for God. And anything that's placed above our love for God is called a what? It's called an idol. And so society has convinced us in a lot of ways that we need to idolize other people even above God. In fact, we celebrate that idea, right? I mean, what season is American Idol on now? 200? Society rewards the idea that we should love others above loving God. And God put it in the order that he put it intentionally. We love God first, and then we love others. So when it comes to the idea of loving the Lord your God, what does love mean? I've given you my definition of love several times. I'm going to give it to you again. This is my definition of love: investing into the life of someone else when there's no benefit to you. That's my definition of love. I'm going to give up something of mine in order to benefit you, not expecting anything in return. Now, if I give up something to benefit you and I expect something in return, that's a different concept. That's you owe me. That's what? Well, I used that word at the beginning of this, so I'm not going to use it again. But it's the idea that if I give you something and I expect something back from you, then you owe me something. Love, though, love is different. Love is, I'm going to take something of mine and give it to you, and if I don't get anything back in return, that's absolutely fine. I'm totally fine with that. Okay. Now, we see that in right in John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world." For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now let me ask you this question. Did God recognize that some people were not going to trust Jesus as their Savior in spite of the fact that Jesus was given over for them? Yeah, he knew that some people would and some people wouldn't. And yet he willingly gave Jesus anyway. He invested into the lives of the entire world, knowing that for some people, he'd never have any return on that investment. Let me ask you a question. Are there benefits to loving God? I think, for the most part, we can say a resounding yes. There are absolutely benefits for loving God. So let me ask you this. Would you be willing to love God as though there were no benefits for doing it? Would you be willing to invest your time, your energy, yourself into loving God, even if he wasn't going to give you anything on the backside of it? I hope our answer is yes. I think even my answer sometimes is, I really want to know what God's going to do for me. If I'm going to give up all of this stuff for God, what is God going to do for me? Well, God has promised us that if we do things with the right attitudes, with the right heart, that we are storing up treasures in heaven. But what if he didn't give us that idea? What if there was no concept about what our eternity was going to be like? Would we still be willing to love him? And would we still be willing to love him primarily? Let's take a look at this idea of heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart." And then at the bottom here, I just put, this is a paraphrase of the response that the scribe gave after Jesus answered him. It says, "To love him with all the heart is more than all the whole burnt offerings." You remember a few weeks ago, I cooked up here on stage. Some of you have still not forgiven me for that. But remember, we talked about the idea of the offering and how Jesus took the place of the trespass offering and the sin offering for us, yet there was still those free will offerings, the free will offerings that people willingly made a decision to offer to God. They didn't have to. They willingly decided that out of their love for God, out of their thankfulness for him, they were going to offer these offerings. And in the New Testament, the apostles talk about offering a sacrifice of praise and living a life that's a living offering, a living sacrifice to God. This idea that we can lift up spiritual offerings. We're no longer sacrificing on the altar anymore, but we're essentially laying ourselves on the altar and saying, "Lord, I give up my life. I give up this, at least this portion of my life, to you." And what the scribe says is, loving the Lord your God with all your heart is more important than the offering system, the sacrificial system. He throws away the entire sacrificial system here, saying loving the Lord your God with all your heart is more important than that. Now, many of you are familiar with this Greek word for heart. It's the word cardia. Some of you have a cardiologist. And this idea of heart in the scriptures, sometimes it means the physical heart, But more often than that, it means the place where our passions come from. The place within us where our passions come from. So, what are you passionate about? And are the things that you're passionate about the things that God is also passionate about? Let me read some of the adjectives from the scriptures about how our heart is described. Okay, it can be a heart of peace, sorrow, joy, trouble. It can be glad, generous, foolish, darkened, broken, united, uncircumcised, not right with God, cleansed, open, understanding, impure, hard and impenitent, circumcised, desirous, believing, deceived, firmly established, anguished, covered in a veil, wide open, earnest, caring, enlightened, hard, sincere, encouraged, protected, thankful, tested, blameless, comforted, directed, pure, astray, evil, unbelieving, true, jealous, selfish, purified, fattened, trained in greed, adulterous, lowly, dull, far from God, forgiving, questioning, loving, treasuring, honest and good, reasoning, known, burning, and even doubting. Those are all the different ways that the heart is described in the scriptures. It's that place that our passions come forth from. Now let me ask you this. Have you ever become angry because you felt like your rights were being stepped on? Something that you were owed or you deserved were being stepped on. If so, that feeling has come forth from the way that the scripture describes your heart. Have you ever had joy that was just unexplainable, unspeakable even? Then according to the scriptures, it proceeds out from your heart. So when it comes to this idea of the heart is where our passions come from. And so if we want to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, we need to align our passions with what God is passionate about. Here's a verse from the Gospel of Luke. The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good. And the evil person, out of the evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So that's the idea of heart. Loving God with our passions. The second one is, love the Lord your God with all your soul. Now this word soul is the word psyche. A lot of you are familiar with that word, psychology and such like that. This is the idea of our identity. Sometimes it means our eternal soul that goes to heaven to be with Jesus if we've placed our trust in him. When we die, but more often it means our identity. It's who we are. How many of you have heard somebody say, I don't really know who I am? It's because they don't know where to find their identity. But for us as Christians, we ought to find our identity in God. Because we've been adopted into the family of God. So we ought to identify as part of that family, right? We've been born again. We've been made citizens of heaven. We have God as our Father. And our identity ought to revolve around that. And yet sometimes we say silly things like, I just need to find myself. I just need to find myself. No, find yourself in God. Love the Lord your God with all your soul. That means love him with you. Everything that he's gifted you with, everything that he's done to make you special, because he has made each and every one of us special. He's crafted every single one of us to be exactly what he needs us to be. for his work. He's given you specific gifts, talents, and abilities that he hasn't given any other human being in the world. He's made you special. And the way that he's made you, he wants you to love him with what he's blessed you with. Our identity needs to be in Christ, and we need to love him with that identity that he's given us. So love the Lord your God with all your soul. The third one is love the Lord your God with all your mind. And let me ask you this question. Do we give God the benefit of the doubt? Do we give God the benefit of the doubt? When something's going wrong in our lives, is our first reaction, God, why are you allowing this to happen? Or God, how does this work into your plan? Because they're two different things. One of them is being scornful towards God. God, you're doing something wrong to me. The other one is, God, I trust you. I may not understand every aspect of what I'm going through, but God, I trust you that what I'm going through right now, I'm going through because it somehow works into your overall plan. I don't understand it, but God, you're smarter than I am. So I'm going to trust you with whatever this situation is. Here's a passage from Philippians chapter 4 that talks about our mind, our thoughts. And let me just say this. Every thought that you have is a thought that you allow. Everything that you think is because you allow it to pass through your mind. If you are a person who thinks lots and lots of negative thoughts, it's because you allow yourself to think that way. If you are a person who thinks lots of positive thoughts, it's because you allow yourself to think that way. And here's what the Apostle Paul says. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, or worthy of praise, think about those things. You know, if we spent our time thinking about those things, we wouldn't have time to think about all of the other things. The anxieties that we go through, the hurts that other people have done to us, and things like that. If we were to clear our mind of all of those negative thoughts and simply fill our mind with the good, it would change our lives. And not only would it change our lives, it would change how we live a life of worship towards God. If I could take all of the negative thoughts that I have in my brain and get rid of them and replace it with thankfulness, I stubbed my toe. Thank you, Lord, that I have a table. It sounds silly, right? But when we start looking at things as though every moment that we have and every breath that we have is a gift from God, and we replace those negative things with thankfulness and all of these things that the Apostle Paul writes here, When we stop thinking angry thoughts and replace it with things that are honorable and worthy of praise and all of those things, it'll change our lives. It'll change our lives. And you know what? It'll make us much more enjoyable to be around as well. All right, the last one is to love the Lord your God with all of your strength. And the idea of strength here, a lot of times in the New Testament, this word is translated power. It's translated power. And a lot of times it's talking about God's power. But the big picture idea behind it is your capabilities and your abilities. What you are able to do. What you are able to do. So if we were to love the Lord our God with everything that we are capable of doing, it would change us. I mean, every single one of these, it would just change us. If we loved the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. It would change us. And not only would it change us, man, it would change those around us. It would change the world that we live in. It would really start making people go, there's something different about you, but it's a good kind of different. I want to know what it is that makes you different. And can you imagine the ways that it would open up our opportunities to minister to other people? I do want to open the mic. So I just want to remind us of the last couple weeks. We've talked about abiding in Christ. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I've highlighted that phrase there. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The book of Colossians, I already mentioned this, but the book of Colossians says Jesus holds all things together. In the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul says, in him, Jesus, we live and move and have our being. The idea is that everything that we are capable of doing is because God has given us the grace to be able to do it. Now, if everything that we do is because God has allowed us to do it, and it's not because of how strong we are, or how good we are, how powerful we are, any of those things, shouldn't that change our mind? It should make us incredibly thankful continuously. In fact, we have the verse right on the wall in the library. It says, give thanks always, in all circumstances, in all circumstances. And it proceeds from a recognition that God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Remember, Jesus said, love the Lord your God, was the single most important commandment. Loving the Lord our God. So, I ask you this question, then I'm going to let the guys open up the mic. The things that we sang this morning, when we said, I will love you with all my heart, with all of my soul, did you mean those things? Or were you just singing them because they were on the wall? Unfortunately, it's not a one-and-done decision. It's not like, well, I'm deciding that I'm going to love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength, and I'm going to make that decision one time, and it's going to carry me throughout the entire rest of my life. You know what? We get in situations where we need to remember that. We need to be reminded of that. And we need to make that decision over and over and over. So I want to open up the mic now, and I'm just going to ask you simply, if you raise your hand and you want the mic, it's because you want to tell us one of the many reasons that you love the Lord.
I actually have two, but I'll just share one, and you can ask me about the other one. I have this tendency to want to challenge myself in the way of meditation sometimes, and so I'll kind of put something up on the wall in my office and sit and stare at it, and then as things come to my mind, I write them down. And one day I was listening to music, and I heard that song, Mighty to Save. And I said, that's just a beautiful song, but the more I got thinking about it, I said, he's mighty for a whole lot more than that. And I wonder what I can come up with in Scripture. And so I put just up on the wall, Mighty 2, dot, dot, dot. And as I would think about things, I would jot them down. And I came up with within about a two-day period, probably 50 things on my list that God is mighty to, as proven in Scripture. And so my one thing for today, He is mighty. I love Him because He is mighty in so many parts of my life. You can ask me about the other.
Amen. I have so much to be thankful for, but this morning's message, I thank the Holy Spirit for leading me, encouraging me, and He even gave me something this morning as I was speaking with one of the saints here, that we can either, according to the message, we can either worry or pray. But if we take every thought captive, we have to realize that we're doing one of the two. We're either being thankful and rejoicing for the blessings that we've had, the way that the Holy Spirit leads us, the way God loves us, the countless ways. And if we don't turn it over into a prayer, if we don't take that thought and turn it into a prayer of thanksgiving or concern for someone else or something that I need to do, I can worry about it. So it's really one of the two. And if I turn it over to worry, well, congratulations for the ulcers and the short life I'm going to live because of worry. So that is something that I consider, and I trust that we can all consider, that it's either worry or prayer. And prayer always produces good results, and worry always produces negative results. So that's what I'm thankful for today, that the Holy Spirit leads us in the way that we need to go by taking every thought captive. It's either up or down, up to eternity with the Lord and those that we love, those that have gone on before us, or worry and concern that, oh, I'm going to shorten my life and enjoy the ulcers. No, I really won't. So it's one way or the other.
I love God because He first loved me.
I can think of two reasons. The first relates to the scripture where God said, I was found of them who sought me not. Indeed, at a time when I wasn't seeking God, He brought me to a knowledge of Himself, and He really did save me from a life of destruction, put me into the kingdom of His dear Son, Jesus. And I have a hope and a belief of living forever with Him. And the second one is I have found, through walking with Him for, I guess, decades, the other scripture that says, all His ways are peace.
I am grateful. Many of you know that several weeks, about a month or so ago, I had asked prayers for my aunt, who they had to take in to the hospital as an emergency, and they found that her esophagus was very constricted, and that is just from scar tissue from previous surgeries. And they said that they weren't even sure that she would have made it through going through being scoped to see what was causing the problem. They found an ulcer, and she was basically put on that for the rest of her life. Whatever God would give her would be liquids. They ended up found out Friday evening that they found another doctor who was willing, that they scoped her again yesterday morning, and they were able to open up the esophagus area to where it goes right into the stomach where all that scar tissue was, so that she can eat again and enjoy the rest of her life, whatever God has for her. Mind you, she's 95, 96 years old. Brittany and I have had a prayer, and when we had first found out that they were going to take her the first time, the doctor said that they didn't even think that, they weren't even sure that she would have made it through the procedure because of her age. When I had messaged that to Brittany, her comment was, but Mom, we have been praying that God would keep her with us so that one day she could be at Brittany's wedding. So we are still praying that Brittany could be have a husband and that my aunt could be with us at that, because she's basically all we have for really family. So she has been like a mom to me. So she was always one that I ran to. So to have her still with us is a joy.
Well, I want to say that I know the Lord loves me, and I definitely love him. This morning he proved it. I was going out of my driveway, and I didn't look very well, and a car was flying by, and I missed him by inches. And right through my mind, it ran right through my mind at that time, and he said, I still have a plan for you, and I'm not going to let you go.
I think there's a lot of reasons why I love God, but probably the most important one is because he's a personable God. I don't make friends easy. I make associates fairly easily, but I don't make close friends very easily. And for me, having God as a friend, I hope that when I see God, he can say, like Jesus said to his disciples at the end at the Last Supper, he said, I now call you friends. And I hope that my epitaph is, he was a friend of God.
Amen.
I love God because one of the first things that drew me to God was that he loved me. And so I still cannot ever get over that, and I don't want to, and I'm so thankful for the loving ways that God shows me, like all the time in my life, in personal, real ways. So I'm very thankful for God and his great love.
I wanted to love and love and thank God for the trials he gives us. Because without the trials that he gives us, when he answers the prayers for those trials, you wouldn't realize how amazing he is through the answered prayer. We were short at work for so long, and finally we have some extra people, and it's so soothing to realize that you don't have to worry as much, that everything's under control, and the prayer's finally answered, that it's better.
This morning's message hit me hard, that sometimes I go a spell of just taking God for granted, and I'm asking him to forgive me for that.
I love God because of his everlasting loving kindness. Psalm 25 has gotten me through a lot in my life. And in that, he said, the psalmist prays to the Lord, do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions, but according to your everlasting loving kindness, remember me, O Lord.
I just thank the Lord God for his pursuit of me. He loves us so much because he loved us first. I love him with everything.
I love the Lord because there's nobody like him. God the Father, he's the only God in town. So you might as well love him. And his son, Jesus Christ. My God, there is nobody in all of humankind ever that is anything like Jesus Christ. He was all in from the beginning. And he's unnerving. You know, I guess the one example I always go to is at the end of his ministry, right before the cross, he went to Lazarus's grave and he stood outside the grave and said, "Lazarus, come out." Everything he had ever done, coming from heaven to earth, becoming a man, his whole ministry, everything was on the line because a dead man had to come out of the grave to redeem it all back. There is just nobody like Jesus Christ, and that's why I love him.
I love God because, well, Joyce Meyer has a really good sermon on this. Trust God even when you don't understand him. And I love God because of what he put in this book that we read to guide us. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Sometimes I don't know where I'm going. But it says that he can do immeasurably more than I can ask or imagine. And in Romans 8, he talks about the Holy Spirit. When I don't know how to pray, he prays. This life is hard. And I love God because he put a map there.
I love God because he was there throughout the entire abusive childhood I went through. And without him, I do not know where I would be today.
I love God because he's so faithful and he's always with me. I'm never alone.
I love God because he was always there. I went through a lot of things in my life. But I guess there's a love of so many dedicated people in this country that the police officers, the fire departments, we as Americans, I'm not only proud to be an American and to love God, I'm glad that he is always there and all the people that also are dedicated to loving him and doing his work.
In our family, we have a saying. It usually has something to do with Chris, and he says, "I have plans for you, and they are good and not bad," which we have taken off of Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And I love God because not only did he love us first, but he has a good plan for us, and he intends to make that happen.
Okay, we'll sing a song that talks about that. Lord, I need you. But and you guys have shared some deep, deep thoughts. I'm your youth pastor, so my deep thoughts don't go quite as deep as yours. But I'll share why I think God loves, I know God loves me, and I love him back because he created dogs. And I think dog owners would probably all say they would agree with me on that. And I say that because my grandkids are grieving the loss of their dog this morning. Dogs are something special. And God created them for us. And so that's why I love God. Let's stand together and sing, "Lord, I Need You."